With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Two for Tio in Montreal. The Toronto Maple Leafs will return home with a 3-1 series advantage over the Montreal Canadiens after a 4-0 victory on Tuesday night. It's the Yahoo Sports Hockey Podcast. Justin Cuthbert back with you. So the Maple Leafs can advance to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs for the first time since 2004 with a win over Montreal on Thursday night. And they have that opportunity in large part thanks to Alex Galchenyuk. Yes, the former third overall selection of the Montreal Canadiens continues to torment the fan base a little bit more with a masterful performance, by his standards at least, on Tuesday night, adding an empty net goal to a pair of sublime assists, really the offensive catalyst for Toronto in the game. And that third overall talent, well, it was on display with those dishes, one to William Nylander and the other to Jason Spezza. The first goal and a part of a three-goal outburst in the second period for the Maple Leafs, who seemed to be making their own. Just a beautiful offensive play. He stayed onside, and the Maple Leafs dissected the transition defense from Montreal, Kerfoot passing it to Galchenyuk, who sent a Showtime feed through, not through his legs, but a no-look backhand feed onto the stick of William Nylander, who shoveled it in. And then a few minutes later, the Leafs and Galchenyuk struck again in transition, with Galchenyuk floating a gorgeous saucer feed to Jason Spezza at the back door for a redirection in front of the net. And then, as I mentioned, the game ended fittingly. Galchenyuk hitting the empty net after actually multiple attempts from the Leafs and failures, honestly, from those who are just not having quite as much of an offensive impact, at least of late, with Austin Matthews getting denied by Corey Perry and Zach Hyman missing in spectacular fashion. But that was a fitting reward, because Alex Galchenyuk was the main reason the Leafs got going offensively in Game 4, and he definitely deserved to bag his first 3-point effort in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's a good thing that I'm not a coach, because I don't think I would have had Alex Galchenyuk in the lineup in Game 4, but kudos to the coaching staff and for Galchenyuk for such a massive performance. It's not like there was too many other options, but I was thinking after Wayne Simmonds had such a big game in Game 3, he might be the one that gets bumped up with Adam Brooks coming in. We learned about Adam Brooks playing before we knew who the scratches were going to be. So I thought there was a chance that Alex Galchenyuk was coming out after what wasn't a great Game 3 from him. But again, he was the catalyst for the Leafs in this game. It was a sleepy start for them, but they ended up doing what they've been doing in this series, which is breaking out rather offensively in the second period. And in Game 4, they did that on the back of Alex Galchenyuk. He's been, or at least in this game, a crucial part of the secondary scoring, which has been a crucial part of the Leafs' success through four games. It's been critical that the Maple Leafs get goals from lower down of the lineup, because the top line really hasn't hit its stride. I mean, Matthews had that one massive game in Game 2, a huge, huge moment for this team in these playoffs, clearly trying to bounce back from the John Tavares injury and the loss in Game 1. But Matthews didn't have the same success since the series moved to Montreal. Mitch Marner's not really on track offensively. He doesn't have a goal yet in the series. And Zach Hyman isn't quite himself yet either, it seems. And the third line for the Maple Leafs is simply not built to score goals. So that leaves the Leafs with the second and fourth line having to do a job. And in Montreal, through the back-to-back games that we've seen here on Monday and Tuesday, those two lines have carried the load offensively. Those lines consist of, who we've already talked about, Nylander, Galchenyuk, and also on that second line, Kerfoot, and then Jason Spezza and Joe Thornton on that fourth line. And in Montreal, 5 of the 6 goals scored over 2 nights were from those players, and those 5 players have 12 total points. I guess you could quibble with the idea that Nylander is a secondary scorer, but playing with Kerfoot and Galchenyuk, he's being asked to lift secondary scorers, true secondary scorers on this team. And with the way the Leafs are arranged, they've stacked their top unit with their 2 best offensive players and their best facilitator. And those 3 players are drawing the most difficult matchups with a lot of Phil Deneau, a lot of Shea Weber, and a lot of Ben Chiarot. So it's a lot is on the shoulders of William Nylander, Alexander Kerfoot, and Alex Galchenyuk, plus the 4th and 3rd lines to get the job done. And so far, that 2nd line has been huge. But no player has been bigger than William Nylander. He continues probably to be the Leafs' best skater overall. He's got goals in all 4 games to begin the playoffs. As many goals as the entire Montreal squad through 4 games, and maybe he wasn't as strong in Game 4 as he was at least in Game 3, but he's been invaluable, obviously, for this team. He's actually 1 goal away in Game 5 from a somewhat dubious record, but a cool record nonetheless, which is the goal streak to begin a postseason, or at least a postseason series. With 1 more, he will tie Gordie Drillin, and that's a hell of a name, who did it many moons ago. But William Nylander going for 5 goals in 5 consecutive games to start the playoffs. A lot of uncles around the GTA are having trouble dealing with that. But yeah, the top line, I think we should stay there for just a moment. And I don't want to excuse them for what was a bit of an not an up and down stint in Montreal here, but not maybe the offensive showing that they thought maybe that they were going to need or they were going to have. As I mentioned, they are seeing the most difficult matchups. I mean, Matthews saw 11 and a half minutes against Phil Deneau and over 11 minutes of Chiarot and Weber as well. The shots and the scoring chances are coming for those 3, Matthews, Marner, and Hyman, but maybe not quite in abundance as it normally would be or of the highest quality, but they are playing a lot in the offensive zone, and that's important when you're playing, you know, the top opposition defenders. At least you're making them work, and if you can turn this into a game of attrition, then eventually you'll probably get that breakthrough. But it still seems that things are a little bit off with Hyman and Marner in particular, and Matthews maybe just, you know, feeling the effects of that a little bit. But the job is more difficult for them right now, and as the series shifts back to Toronto here, they're going to have the benefit of last change, and maybe Sheldon Keefe can open things up a little bit more for that group who, I don't want to say needs to get going, because the Leafs are looks like they're free and clear here, up 3-1, and you like the buffer zone that you have, but if they're going to get as far as they think they can get, they're certainly going to need that top line to be firing on all cylinders. As for Montreal, the struggles are not limited to one line for this team. You know, in the end, if you look at this game and if you look at the entire balance of the 2 games in Montreal, at least, the shots and the scoring chances, it's all pretty even. But the Habs just cannot manufacture the same sort of opportunities that we've seen the Leafs produce and capitalize on. There's just a collective inability to produce reasonably strong scoring looks. And despite the confidence that Carey Price seems to have, or at least is saying he has, this is a real difference in the series, is the fact that Montreal just can't produce the same quality of scoring chances and therefore goals as the Maple Leafs. You have less opportunities to take your chances. And right now, it's just a numbers game, with the Maple Leafs getting a little bit more and turning those opportunities into goals and the differences in these games, at least 3 of the 4 games so far. I will say, though, I think the Leafs have done a little bit of a better job defensively, at least since that Game 1 disappointment. They've really cut down on Montreal's opportunities from a transition standpoint. And if Montreal was going to hurt the Leafs, offensively at least, that's probably how they were going to do it. They've just been, the Maple Leafs, more defensively responsible in the offensive areas. You're playing better defense when you have the puck, and that makes it really difficult for Montreal to break through, because they're just not going to.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Win those, enough of those one-on-one battles, or they're not going to outskill Toronto in the offensive zone or create in those half-court sets like Toronto can. They just don't have that talent. The goals are going to come in transition, and they've exclusively come in transition in this series for them, and the Leafs have keyed in on that, it seems, and they're making things a little bit more difficult. We're not seeing those huge rushes from Josh Anderson. We're not seeing Paul Byron cause a problem for them offensively, at least maybe with shorthanded chances. Like, they've just been a little bit more protective of the puck when they have the puck, and that's made things a little bit more difficult for Montreal to get going. That said, they're producing enough shots in the series to be competitive, but the difference is that Jack Campbell has just been up to the task. He's been able to handle basically everything that should be in his control. He didn't want to say that he's out-dueling Carey Price, and I don't want to say that he's out-dueling Carey Price, but he's handling everything Montreal can muster. He's just in control, and that's really all the Maple Leafs can ask for, especially on the second half of a back-to-back. He's just stopping all the shots that are within his control, and he's not being asked or being charged with doing more. And if he gets to the point where he has to do more than that, maybe the Leafs are in trouble. But if they can keep the load to what it is right now, there's no reason to believe that Jack Campbell cannot handle it. 114 shots in the series so far from Montreal, and Jack Campbell has stopped 110 of those. The only goal that you didn't like is the Nick Suzuki goal in Game 3, which momentarily tied it, but I don't really think you can blame him on the other three. If the Leafs did anything better in this game, or at least if there was a bigger difference from Game 3, it's probably the fact that they did a little bit of a better job protecting their lead. I mean, they did get out-attempted 28-10 in the third period, but certainly the chances were less dangerous. There was less scrambling. There was just a little bit more comfort, it seems. It seemed, at least, to be protecting a 3-goal lead rather than a 1-goal lead. I think both of these experiences are important moving forward, because you know what it looks and what it feels like, and you have tape when you're only up 1 goal and you're not playing sound defensively. And then you have the good things that worked when you were up 3 goals and playing with a little bit more comfort and with the lessons of having just barely protected the 1-goal lead a couple nights earlier. So you can sort of look back at how these situations have unfolded, but we've seen the same situation sort of play out over the last 2 games, which is the Leafs pour it on in periods 1 and 2, get that lead, they go into the third intermission, and they're trying to figure out what the best formula is in period 3. A little bit better tonight, but still not perfect. I think you would like to be at least handling, or, you know, grabbing more of a share of the total shots and attempts rather than just accepting everything coming your way. You want to be able to provide resistance with offense, and I don't think the Leafs have fully done that just yet. Big news coming in to the game were the lineup changes, and they were more profound with the Maple Leafs than they were with Montreal, despite the Maple Leafs getting the victory in Game 3. Sheldon Keefe announced before the game that both Adam Brooks and Travis Dermott would come in, but did not reveal who would come out, so that caused a little bit of speculation, and I thought maybe Alex Galchenyuk wouldn't play. But Riley Nash came out. I think that probably does make the most sense, really, because Riley Nash is still trying to find his footing with the Leafs. He's only played a couple of games. He's only been recently healthy and available to play because he was purchased while on LTIR, stashed away until the playoffs started, and unveiled. And it hasn't worked maybe to the degree that they thought, but he needs to get reps if he's going to be a factor. So I thought maybe they would sneak him in on that fourth line just so he could see a little bit more ice. But they wanted to get Adam Brooks in, and if Brooks was coming in, it only made sense that he played on the fourth line with Jason Spezza and Joe Thornton, because he had so much success in the regular season there. Only played a couple games, but it was clear that those three had chemistry. So Adam Brooks coming in, you like to think that he was coming in to play that role, and I think he played that role very well again on Tuesday night, and he might get the chance moving forward. I don't know if the Maple Leafs will make any changes, even if Nick Foligno is healthy, just because of how well they seem to mix the lines in this game. As for the defense, maybe the more shocking of the two moves was the fact that Travis Dermott was coming in just to get reps, it seemed, over Rasmus Sandin, who had huge moments in the series so far, some regrettable moments in the series so far, and maybe we were sort of inflating his 5-on-5 play a little bit as people sort of looked back and wondered why this was happening, and maybe they just wanted Rasmus Sandin to check things out from the press box while they were getting Travis Dermott some reps, because you probably believe that Travis Dermott's going to play a pretty significant role if the Leafs are going to go on a long run, because it's just unlikely that you're going to stay healthy. So getting Travis Dermott in, second half of a back-to-back, maybe that all made sense, or at least more sense than it did at the time. Looking forward now, I mean, the Leafs are obviously going to have a chance to eliminate the Canadiens in Game 5 on Thursday night. And I think the big question will be, if Nick Foligno is healthy enough to play, he's missed the last two games with, I believe, a lower body injury, something that's just sort of nagging. But if he's ready, the guy who was supposed to take John Tavares' spot at second-line center and hold that until Tavares came back, I don't even know if he's got a spot in the lineup right now. I don't think you're breaking up the second line with Nylander, Kerfoot, and Galchenyuk having such a masterful performance in Game 4. Certainly, I don't think you're booting Alexander Kerfoot, who has played that or filled those shoes admirably in the last two games, certainly, just playing probably the best hockey of his entire career with the Maple Leafs. He's just been tremendous in that partnership with William Nylander, and I'm not getting rid of him to put Nick Foligno in, who still doesn't have enough reps with this team to be at his optimized performance. So I think that's out of the question, that Foligno takes the second line center position back. I'm also not sure you want to mess with what's been a fairly impenetrable third-line checking unit with Engvall, Mikheyev, and Simmons. Maybe Simmons drops back down to the fourth line and you fit Foligno in there. But I think the two more realistic options is that Foligno replaces Adam Brooks and plays with Joe Thornton and Jason Spezza, or Nick Foligno bumps up to the top line with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, perhaps to try and shock a little life into that partnership between the best two players on the team, or at least the leading offensive guys. And then you drop Hyman into the third line because he's a low maintenance guy and he's going to give you honest minutes wherever he plays, and he won't mess up the chemistry on that third line. If anything, he'll probably help just continue to be a line that funnels the puck in the right direction and it doesn't let anything happen against them defensively. So I could see a scenario where Foligno is with the top two guys if he's healthy. The second line stays as it is because it's been just feasting on its matchup and doing so well. The third line a little bit retooled, but still the same concept. And then you get the Greybeards back on that fourth line as it started with Thornton, Spezza, and Wayne Simmons taking Adam Brooks out. I feel like that's the most reasonable situation if Foligno is ready to come back. But again, we haven't really been able to predict exactly what Sheldon Keefe is going to do. So it will be interesting to see what route he takes. Shout out to Kevin Papetti for this. But the last time the Leafs won a playoff round or playoff series was in 2004. It was against the Ottawa Senators, and Jason Spezza was on the losing end. He was in his first year way back when. So that tells you how long it's been and sort of how things are becoming full circle for Jason Spezza. It's a pretty cool story that he'll maybe get a chance to be a part of the next series win on Thursday night if the Maple Leafs can handle or take care of business, rather, on home ice at Scotiabank Arena. We will see what happens in that game four. I think I'll have Julian back to talk about that then, but it might be a solo effort. But either way, we'll chat about the Maple Leafs' potential elimination game five and then what that means with the Winnipeg Jets waiting in the wings after their four-game sweep over the Edmonton Oilers. The other game on Tuesday night, the Predators and Hurricanes, the Carolina Hurricanes, one that survived finally in overtime. They got a victory in overtime in their third straight appearance in overtime versus Nashville, who made it very difficult on them so far. But with a 3-2 win, they now have a 3-2 advantage in the series, and they will go back to Nashville to try and close things out. I didn't see much of the game because I was, you know, there on the same time and I was focused on the Leafs, but I did tune in time to see Marty Nakash score his second of the game on a beautiful wraparound. That's what forced overtime. And then in overtime, it was just the makeup calls were in full effect, like just the referees being involved as much as possible. And they were kind of forced into their involvement a little bit because the Carolina Hurricanes were just asking to take a penalty with Nashville swarming them on the forecheck. They eventually take one after just an egregious hold from Brady Shea. But then you could tell they didn't want to call a penalty. So the first opportunity to call one against Nashville, they do. An interference call evens things up. And right away, Jordan Staal scores on the 4-on-4. He's been an absolute monster for Carolina through five games. He's got 4 goals and 5 points in the series. Now has an OT winner to go along with a two-goal performance in game one. Again, it's been a fascinating series because UC Saros has been so good for Nashville in that net. It is lopsided, it seems, but maybe not as lopsided as we thought. So, you know, there's still one more victory for Carolina to get done to move on. It's what we all expected. But this Nashville team, man, they've been pesky. I think I heard on the broadcast that they have as much as 12 rookies in the lineup. 12 rookies on a playoff team. And most of them aren't name brand guys. These aren't guys that are challenging Kirill Kaprizov for the Calder Trophy. This is just a new wave of like regular talent coming up the pipeline for Nashville. So what a job John Hines has done to use a group that's almost 50% rookies to push a team as good as the Carolina Hurricanes. I know UC Saros is maybe as big of a deal or as big of a reason as anything that this is going to 6 games and that Nashville's still in it, but credit Hines for doing what he's doing with 12 rookies and also a group that, at least up front, of veterans who just don't pull their weight in terms of what they earn. So an interesting situation playing out there, but I think after the Carolina Hurricanes avoided a third consecutive overtime loss that things might settle down and they'll be able to get that victory in Nashville finally. I will be back tomorrow night to talk about a trio of elimination games, a trio of game sixes in the Stanley Cup playoffs. First, the New York Islanders will look to finish things off against the Pittsburgh Penguins on home ice. Likewise, Tampa will be trying to do the same against the Florida Panthers, while Vegas will travel into Minnesota to try and eliminate the Wild. That is as good of a night of hockey as you could potentially map out. Three great game sixes, and I will be back to talk about it tomorrow night. I can't wait. I'll chat with you then.